Excellent. Thank you very much, Neil, and thank you very much to the FST for inviting me to present to you today. It really is a pleasure. And as Hayatin had said, and interesting that we both have a background in biochemistry, and I guess we've both diversified our careers. So I'm sure there's some things that we can take away from that and maybe discuss a little bit later. But really, what I want to focus on, I think, within the context of those three questions that Hayatin has explored in her presentation is really focusing on how we're building and supporting a diverse, inclusive, and sustainable research innovation system. Because I think for lots of reasons, this is actually going to be critical for our future place in the world. I just want to start off really by introducing you to UKRI, because some of you may not be familiar with us. So we are an organisation that was established in 2018 that brought together seven of the discipline-facing research councils that were all arms-length bodies of government, of the Department for Business, Energy and Industrial Strategy, brought us together with Research England and Innovate UK to create one organisation. And we invest in research and innovation by partnering with academia and business right across different disciplines, right across the UK and internationally. And last year, UKRI set out in our corporate plan what our vision was for the research and innovation sector, and also our mission in helping to deliver that vision. This is set out on the slide, and it recognises that it's a very complex landscape involving many people, involving many different organisations. And at the highest possible level, the vision that we have is that, we want the UK to have an outstanding research innovation system, but one in which everyone feels that they can contribute, and equally everyone feels that they can benefit. And this really requires for that system to be diverse, inclusive, equitable. As UKRI, what do we see as our mission in helping to achieve that vision, helping to deliver it? Well, we see that we have a really important role as convening different partners and working in collaboration, catalyzing, investing in the best ideas so that we can build that thriving system in which people and ideas and our diversity of people and ideas can really grow and thrive. And importantly, connecting our investments, which are investments that come from the taxpayer, to that public good, and whether that's economic benefit, whether that's societal benefit, all of those things we want to ensure. So really, sort of, I then want to explain why that diversity and inclusion is so important. And as we've already heard this morning, diversity and inclusion do really matter. And there are different challenges in different sectors of our research and innovation system. So it's important that we recognize that, and some of the interventions will be different. But we know from studies that have been undertaken by a number of organizations, this is from a report from McKinsey last year, that there is a real bonus for those organizations that have diverse teams. So both from a gender perspective and from an ethnicity perspective, companies that are in the top 25% percentile actually are more likely to be profitable and to be more creative, more productive than companies that do not have such a diverse workforce. And that's just illustrated in the slides. It builds on many other ideas. So we know that there are real positive benefits from focusing on diversity and inclusion, and these really matter. If we look at STEM workforce data, and as Hayatin has already explained, it can hide differences across the different STEM areas. But I think some of these data, even at a collective level, are really rather stark. If you look at gender and compare to people who are in the STEM workforce compared to the rest of the workforce, we only see 27% of women in STEM subjects across the piece. So there's a real disparity there. Disability, there is also underrepresentation in STEM areas. And also in some ethnic groups, they are underrepresented in STEM areas. And this is particularly acute when we drill down and look across those different areas. But at this highest level, we see that there is so much more potential for improving the diversity and the inclusivity of people working across the research and innovation system. These data are from the WISE campaign and from HESA, and they're a few years old now, but I think they illustrate that point about the difference across different STEM subjects. So my own area, the biological sciences, we're very fortunate, you could say, in that when we look at STEM qualifications up to postgraduate level, there's actually an overrepresentation of females within that. Whereas when we actually look into academia, only 26%, and it's probably very similar data now, maybe 27% of people holding professorial contracts are women. However, when you look across engineering and technologies and mathematics, the situation is really quite different, as Hayatin has already described. So we really need to understand what's happening in these different areas so that we can improve the inclusivity, and the interventions and the approaches we take will need to be really tailored to those different areas, because this is a very complex area and many factors are at play. As part of the work that UKRI are doing, and as because we're the largest public funder of research and innovation in the UK with an £8 billion budget every year, that's a tremendous amount of investment and leverage there. When we look, we've been looking and we commit to publishing openly our data on our funding programmes. And currently we collect data on age, disability, ethnicity and gender. And these are the collective data across all of UKRI funding. We've published the drill down data by our particular disciplines as well, so that you can see how this varies depending on the area of support. But again, we see differences across all of these different areas between whether it's gender, ethnicity, disability, and age. We need to understand the shape of our funding system so that we can understand where the particular areas are that would potentially be the areas that, if we could make improvements, if we could design things differently, we could actually make the most difference. And if we drill down a little bit into looking at both applications and awards for two of those different categories, so for gender and for ethnic minorities, we see that the number of female applicants and awardees has been increasing over the last 5-year period, particularly in the yellow lines there around fellowships. So we're really seeing successful female applicants coming through and being supported. We also see an increase in applications from people identifying as ethnic minorities, which again is really, really positive. However, when we look at the proportion of awardees, we don't see the proportionality is slightly different. So whilst we're seeing increases, they're not being as successful. So we need to understand what it is about our processes and about our systems, which is resulting in this outcome. Because ideally, we would want to see parity between proportions of applications and awards. So there's more we need to do. And I think the People and Culture Strategy, which has already been referred to, which was published in July by our parent department, really sort of brings many of these different things together and starts to think about it in a systematic, holistic way. So UKRI worked really closely with colleagues at Bayes in developing this strategy. And the strategy sets out to sort of create a more inclusive, dynamic, productive and sustainable research and innovation sector in the UK. A system where, you know, a diversity of people and ideas can thrive. And it really is a call to action. And it really recognises that this isn't somebody else's problem. This won't be solved by individuals, but it requires everyone across the system to reflect and understand what role they can play and what role they can lead in bringing about that lasting change. And importantly, it recognises that people are at the heart of the R&D system. So we need to think about skills. We need to think about career paths, porosity across career paths, flexibility, leadership, culture, incentive, attracting globally mobile talent. And in the next few slides, I'll take through a little bit more detail, People and Culture Strategy, and also then come on to some examples from UKRI, some of the activities that we've been taking forward that are starting to address some of these quite knotty and long-term issues. We recognise it's difficult. There aren't going to be quick wins. We really have to be dedicated to this over the longer term. So the strategy itself really centres on three key areas: people, culture, and talent. And in this slide, I've sort of set out what the success would look like in these areas should we be successful in taking forward that strategy and really driving and bringing about that change. So it's about attracting people with the right skills across all roles. It's not just, I mean, as an academic by background, it's not just about academia. It's about all the people who contribute to the success in academia, the professional support service, the technical experts, and more broadly. We need to think about variation in career paths. How can we retrain people? How can we attract people in? How can we make the environment attractive and supportive to those people? And I think particularly in academia, there are real opportunities for us to develop leadership at all levels. And I see this particularly as someone who's transitioned from working in the academic sphere to working in the policy field. Culture is really important. You know, as well as attracting people, we need to be sure that we have a supportive environment that enables those people to thrive and is respectful for those people. We need to reward and recognise and incentivise people for excellent research and innovation, but to broaden what we're actually recognising, the contributions that we're recognising in that area. They're currently very tightly defined, and that drives lots of behaviours which are actually rather unhelpful. So we're working towards thinking how we can review what that reward and recognition system looks like. And we want to attracts people of all backgrounds to be inspired into research innovation careers. I was really passionate about biology when I was at school, but I was the first person in my family to go to university. We didn't have a framework around that. And I lived in a very rural area of East Anglia. So I feel that I've sort of have that lived experience of going in there. And I would really like other people to feel that they too has something to offer for them too. And clearly, you know, we want to ensure that the UK is a really attractive place for top talent. You know, talent is globally mobile. How can we ensure that the UK attracts and retains skilled people and for that exchange of ideas, which is so important? So UKRI has a really important role in delivering the people and culture strategy. There are over 20 commitments in the strategy, but it's not for us alone to deliver that. It's very much about working in partnership and collaboration with others. But clearly, because we are a significant funder and because we have levers around that, it's really important that we take a lead in particular areas, and that's what we're doing. And we recognise that a lot of our systems and processes will drive behaviours in the system, so and how we can use those to influence the system to really drive forward that change, I think is really important. And with all of these things, we do really want to make sure that we're collecting data, we're using an evidence-based approach, and we're sharing that with partners and exchanging knowledge with partners also. So we're sort of nesting our activities in four key interrelated areas. And I think this is the real point, that we have to think about this systemically. We have to think about this holistically. Many of these elements are interconnected, and there will be consequences of changing, of having inputs into one part of the system that will impact the other part of the system. And we really need to understand this in an integrated way. So in terms of the what, we've sort of thinking about this in four different ways, thinking about the capacity, the capability, the culture, and behaviour. And to illustrate how we're thinking about that, and I hope you can read some of this writing, I appreciate it's rather small on the slide, but you know, in terms of capacity, we need to think about how we're attracting people into the career pathway for research innovation to ensure that people see that it could be something for them. So thinking about a new deal for postgraduate research, are there barriers for postgraduates to enter into research innovation? And thinking about, you know, are there hostile cultures, so particularly around tackling bullying and harassment? In terms of capability, I've already mentioned, you know, developing leadership skills at all levels. But I think it's also about thinking how we can attract people and how we can get a broader diversity of people through different placements, experiences of learning, working across disciplines, working across sectors. That porosity, I think, is actually really important. In terms of culture, we need to think about how we can foster that really inclusive, respectful culture that supports people and that people feel that they want to work within and are inspired to do that. And work that is ongoing is very active at the moment in UKRI is developing our equality, diversity and inclusion strategy that we'll be launching a draft of for consultation next month. And we welcome really wide feedback on that. In terms of behaviour, we're thinking about how we assess, because we know that what we measure will drive and influence behaviours. So we really need to think quite carefully about, are we assessing the things that will support a positive and respectful research culture, or are some of the things that we're measuring actually driving particular behaviours that can lead to impacts and issues around bullying and harassment? So actually going to be taking sort of an end-to-end review of our how we use expert peer review to ask some of those questions about the criteria that we're using and how that might influence behaviours, what we're actually measuring in terms of contributions to assess that excellence. And excellence is really important, but we have to think about how we're defining excellence, I think. And we've been piloting the use of a narrative CV, which is based on the Royal Society's resume for researchers. And we're gathering evidence from that. We'll be publishing guidance to help applicants and to help their research offices around that. But this is so that we can broaden the contributions that we're actually measuring from people beyond the traditional, in academia anyway, papers, journal publications, and grants. But again, I emphasize that the key in all of this is to understand how all of these things interact and how we need to think about these things holistically, and how it really requires the system and all the individuals within that system to come together to help to affect the change. It's not someone else's issue. It's we should all have ownership and show leadership here. So I just want to provide a few case studies about some of the activities that UKRI is undertaking to help deliver this people and culture strategy. And as I hope I've emphasized, it's not that we are doing this in isolation, but we are working very closely with the community, with the academies, with learning societies, with business and other organizations, because we really need to make sure that we are moving forward as a system with these different areas so we can really affect that change. So one of the things that we're going to be looking at and consulting on is how we're attracting students into postgraduate research and how we're supporting those students. So this is the New Deal for postgraduate research. There are four areas that we'll be looking at. I'd be interested if anyone feels that there's anything that's possibly missing from that, and we will be again consulting broadly with the community on that. We want to think about models and access. We want to think about the levels of financial support and funding, the rights and conditions, and the routes in and through, and trying to identify where there are barriers, particularly for some underrepresented groups in this area. Because it's so important that we're actually attracting people in at this stage. We then have to make sure that we can create an environment that sustains their careers. Tackling bullying and harassment is high on the agenda, and UKRI is chairing the Forum for Tackling Bullying and Harassment, which is bringing together funding, policy and other organisations, both from the UK and internationally, with the aim of really supporting system level change in this area. So it's about raising awareness to bring about the culture change that we all feel is really important in order to really enable that healthy research culture, working collaboratively to explore and to share learning and understanding where other people have taken steps and approaches, and also promoting collaboration so that we can reduce bureaucracy in this area. We want to make it enabling and straightforward for people. So this is a really important area of what we're doing. And then a couple of examples of work that we've been undertaking in BBSRC. So we support doctoral training through a number of collaborative doctoral training programmes. And we have recognised in our own funding data that we have real underrepresentation of Black students within our PhD cohorts, and also within our principal investor cohorts as well. So we've been working with our doctoral training programs in order to encourage them to pilot interventions to really try and address this underrepresentation and to empower young people from disadvantaged backgrounds, from underrepresented backgrounds, to consider a programme in a PhD training in the biosciences. This is an example from the London Interdisciplinary Doctoral Programme, where they have supported tailored mentoring and training programmes. And they have now, the data demonstrates that through the programmes that they have actually put in place, that they're really increased the number of minority applicants who are making it through to interview. That is a really good example of how things can actually work. And I know the University of Nottingham have a similar programme where they are offering mentoring support to applicants, and they actually have a guaranteed interview system as well, which is really increasing the diversity of the students who are interviewed for those doctoral training programmes. So I think there's much we can learn from these approaches. Innovate UK has had a really successful programme since 2016 supporting women in innovation. They have seen through this programme of tailored support for female innovators a 70% increase in the number of women who are registering for Innovate UK support, which is a fantastic increase. And I know they are keen to actually do more. And I've met with a number of their cohorts in the past. And it's really inspiring to see these women coming together and the support that they actually have. So whilst this is a small programme, I think it has ambitions to increase its reach as well, and is demonstrating success. So it really works. In thinking about career pathways and movement across career pathways and development of new skills, at a UKRI level, we've been supporting an Innovation Scholars Programme, which enables individuals to move between different sectors, and that can be between academia, the NHS, or with business. It benefits not only the person who is seconded into those different sectors in their career, but also the organisation often that they are seconded into. And in BBSRC, we've been supporting flexible talent mobility accounts over the last few years, which enables early career researchers and technical experts to move between academia and industrial settings. Over 280 people have been supported since we've launched that. And there's some great and really positive feedback from the people who've taken part, and that it's enabled them to develop new skills and consider different career path tracks as well. And sort of my last example really is around global mobility and why that is an important part of the people and culture strategy. So we recognise that, you know, research and innovation benefit from international collaboration and the circulation of skills and ideas around the world. And we've worked very closely with Home Office on the Global Talent Visa, which is an immigration route for individuals coming to the UK to work in specific sectors, including in research and innovation. UKRI can now endorse applications for researchers working on funded projects from over 80 domestic and international funders. But it doesn't stop there. We're also looking at how some of the other elements of the people and culture strategy in this talent area, where we can support that to make improvements as well. So it's looking at evidence about international mobility, about sort of trends and directions of travel, working with the Office for Talent to launch an online service to attract highly talented individuals to the UK, and how we can actually improve the highly skilled migration routes for top talent, and including we're looking at the UKRI short-term mobility scheme that we currently have. So I want to finish there, but just sort of to summarise, you know, we do see underrepresentation in certain groups across the STEM areas, but this is different. As both myself and Hayatin have recognised across that area. And there are complex reasons as to why there is that underrepresentation. We really need to understand that if we are actually going to start to tackle that. But importantly, as part of that, I think creating that inclusive and diverse system is going to be absolutely critical to that, because, you know, having a diverse group of people and supporting a diverse group of ideas is actually what we need to realise if we want to benefit from the full potential of research and innovation in the UK. And I guess I just sort of want to close with a question to you as a cohort of future leaders is, how can you see yourselves playing a role, and how might you be able to help with this very broad and challenging but really rewarding area? So I will stop there, and thank you very much.